Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hi, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and today I'm here with Jessica Walsh, the Director of Prevention at Women's Resource Center in Newport, Rhode Island. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm also here with Lucy Rios, the Director of Prevention and Public Education at the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Hi, Lucy.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about their Primary Prevention Institute. Jessica and Lucy, can you explain what the Primary Prevention Institute is?
This is Jessica, and the Primary Prevention Institute is a community capacity building initiative that we started in Newport and in the southern part of Rhode Island this year. We had our pilot year, and the goals of the program were to build the capacity of local youth-serving organizations to plan, implement, and evaluate theory-based prevention programs. We also wanted to create a community of learners to support each other in prevention. And finally, we wanted to increase organizational capacity at the local organizations that serve youth to provide effective theory-based prevention programs.
I'm looking at the site right now, and it's primarypreventioninstitute.weebly.com. You use a combination of presentations, for example, PowerPoint, and you also have some homework. Can you give me an idea of the structure of the institute?
It's an in-person program. We ran the program for 9 months. We started in the very beginning of October in 2012, and we just actually wound up today in June. So basically, we pulled together staff from the 8 community organizations, and they came to meet with us once a month, and we did a combination of a PowerPoint presentation, as you mentioned, and we tried to keep everything really hands-on, so they were applying everything they learned to a program they were either currently running or intending to run in the very near future. So the homework that you see on there are things that they had to do in between sessions, and we provided technical assistance. And so if somebody was trying to do the logic model and they were just really stuck, we would either go to them, we would do a phone conference. We were trying to really build right from the beginning the sense that we were learning in person, but we would also sort of continue the learning when we were outside of our meeting time. And so the website is really a place for all of our learning to live. And one of the things we talked about was that a lot of times you go to trainings and you get a really good handout, but then if you lose that binder or you don't remember where you put it, you don't necessarily use the tools. And so we wanted a place for all the tools we were providing in person to also live online. So they would always know, hey, if I need a logic model template, I know where to go and get it. Or if I want to review how to find measures, we have links up there for finding existing measures and stuff like that. So we tried to use, and we also did use some webinars, so we just tried to really utilize a bunch of different avenues to accommodate really busy schedules is one thing, because, you know, these people are running programs constantly. So we had them for 3 hours a month, and then the rest of the time we wanted there to be ways for them to reach out to us, to reach out to each other, and to always access the learning and do it on their own schedule.
How did the Primary Prevention Institute come to be?
Through the Delta grant that we had learned a lot about planning, implementing, and evaluating prevention programs. We had learned about how to use theory to plan a program. We knew how to create pre- and post-tests. We knew how to make a logic model. And what we realized is that in my interactions with folks in the community, and so we were working with the Boys and Girls Club already. We were working with the community center. We were working with the library and the local charter school. And what I had sort of slowly through those relationships realized is that we had a lot of information that those folks wanted, and we were just really lucky to have the Delta funding to learn all these things from someone. So we just decided we needed to take what we knew and share it with our community, particularly because we're looking at the primary prevention of domestic violence. At the time, there was one staff person in my department, and we just really realized that one of the key ways to impact prevention in our community was to go to those folks who are already doing the work and help them do their work better. We sort of went around and came up with this idea that we would do an institute, and we would stipend folks for their participation to really garner commitment and show them that we really valued the time that they were going to commit to this project. And I talked to all of our partners that we had a history of working with, and we had a total of 10 partners on the project, including us, and so 9 partners said, sure, let's do it. We wrote to a local foundation, and they supported us fully for this year, and we were able to run the institute through a pilot.
The Coalition Against Domestic Violence, we had done statewide planning through Delta funding as well, and one of the goals that we had identified that we wanted to work with to try to target is building community capacity, prevention capacity. So when Jessica came to the coalition with this idea of like, look, I want to run this primary prevention institute. What do you think? Would you be willing to help? I was like, yes, this is exactly what, this is so aligned with the state plan and the vision that folks had. And we had tried to do some training of community-based agencies in years before, but we weren't able to get the outcomes that we were looking for because it wasn't long-term enough. You know, people would come to one training and then they really wouldn't reach out for more TA. And so we didn't really know if people were using the tools or not. And the structure of the Primary Prevention Institute, it made total sense. It was like, here's an opportunity to really dig deep into this work, look at the framework, look at the tools that we had been using in Delta for planning and for evaluation, and giving people the time to take it back to their organization and practice it and see what worked and what didn't work and really learn from trial and error, really. We knew that this was something that we had to support and it was the way that we were going to be able to build capacity in our state.
Right. It sounds like this Primary Prevention Institute really supports both statewide and local level goals for primary prevention in healthy communities.
It definitely does. We realize that in Rhode Island we're small, and so we can ask people to travel and just spend the morning with us and then go back to their organization. So we know that's a luxury that many other states don't have. But that time together, not only did they learn together, but they did, you know, we did accomplish one of those goals around building a community of learners. And so at the local level in Newport, yes, they're going to see, I'm hoping that there's going to be an increase in the effectiveness of the prevention programs in that community. But then also, we want to learn from that and we want to replicate that in other communities. So it just sets a model for us as to, okay, now that we've done this in Newport, where can we go next? How do we work with another pool of community-based agencies in another community so that we can continue to do this and replicate this in other cities and towns across the state?
Right. It sounds like you've had a lot of success, and that's always great to have something that you can replicate and feel very confident about. I really appreciate the community-based component of this training. I think that's something that our Prevent Connect audience is really interested in. We have a lot of audience members who are at the community level and are wanting to engage their community, not just community members and residents, but also other organizations, maybe social services organizations in the community. And I believe that was a component of this institute.
Early on, we realized that we would not be able to accomplish our goals without having really strong support from our community partners. And so we've really been working to build relationships with them over quite a few years. And so prior to this, we would offer some free training when we could. We would offer program in their space. In return, we had great relationships where they would transport kids for us if we needed to get somewhere and, you know, we don't have a van. And that sounds really simple, but it can be this huge roadblock when you're trying to get kids to participate in things. We would share space, we would share ideas, we would share expertise whenever we could. And over time, really began to build those relationships to the point where there was enough trust where when we went and sort of pitched this idea that, you know, we want you, because we did ask for a huge commitment. They got a relatively small stipend from us. It was $2,500 for the year for 9 months, and they were sending at least 2 staff people for 3 hours a month plus the homework in between. The executive directors had to come to at least 2 meetings for 3 hours each. And so that's a lot of time and resources in agencies that are already very strapped in terms of time and resources. And so, you know, we were asking a lot. And we were saying to them, your programs are going to get better. And, you know, we were promising all these things. But I think because we had such a history of, they recognized that we did have some expertise that we were gaining through these grants that we had access to through the domestic violence movement. Also, we have a history of trying to write people into our grants, of stipending them for things, and people appreciate that. And so over time, we had built a level of trust where, you know, I'll admit I was really sort of nervous going out and pitching this idea to people. But I went very strategically to one ED executive director who I knew would have influence over the rest of them. And I got her to say yes. And then in all the other meetings, I was like, well, the Boys and Girls Club is doing it. And they're like, okay, we'll do it. And so just sort of knowing your community too and sort of having those relationships and being able to really think strategically, it all sort of came together for us in this project. And today in the wrap-up, everyone was really pleased and really happy that they'd signed on. But 9 months ago, I think they were really going on the trust that had been built over, you know, over a course of years that we would not waste their time. And I think that's where we started.
Absolutely. It sounds to me like what really determined the success of this institute was that long-term relationship building. And so it really points to the fact that we don't turn to people and we shouldn't turn to people just when we need them, that this was really based on a history of support and building relationships.
Most definitely. And I think what's interesting is we did invite a couple new people to the table, which was also really good. So because you bring new ideas and new faces, and previously the library had not been included in many things, and so we were happy to bring them to the table because we were able to then help build more community relationships. We went to our sort of long-standing partners first, and then we chose one or two partners who we said, you know, they should be at the table, and let's see if we can use this as a way to sort of hook them in. And you know, and it worked. So I think there's a balance that without all the relationships, we would not have been able to do what we did. And we also utilized all of those relationships to bring a few more people to the table, which was, you know, equally exciting.
You really knew your community. I don't think a lot of people would think of bringing their library to the table, but having those relationships and knowing that that's a key player in your community, again, really added to the success of this project.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids spend their time at the library. In many communities, the YA, they call them around here, YA librarians, the young adult librarians, are their youth service organization in their YA section of the library, and people forget to invite them and include them. There's certain groups of kids who feel most comfortable at the library, and you don't want those kids to not get any programming.
Jessica just mentioned that today was the wrap-up of the first Primary Prevention Institute. So what are the lessons learned of this whole process?
Well, one of the lessons learned is what we've been saying along the way. It's just the importance of the community relationships and knowing what the community needs. The idea of this came about because Jessica realized that groups needed some of the tools to be better prevention practitioners. It wasn't because she decided, oh, I want to place this in the community. She was really responding to a community need, realized that she had resources to share, and was willing to do that and create this program, this structure, to create that space to allow that to happen. And then we did also learn a lot around structure. We got some feedback today from executive directors really wanted to know more about what their staff was learning ahead of time so that they could support them in doing their homework and figuring out what things can they put in place in their organization to really support that staff as they try to implement some of those tools and some of that learning in their programming.
Folks were saying that it was really helpful to be focusing on a program that they were actually running, as opposed to oftentimes they were saying, you know, when you go to trainings, you're sort of doing hypothetical case studies, or you're, you know, just doing homework sort of in a vacuum, or you're applying things in a vacuum. And so I think that's something that we will just continue to incorporate, is making sure that it's as real as possible for folks and that they can go back and apply it right away. And really, we're there to help them think through how to apply it right away to a program that they are connected to and that, you know, means something to them and is useful in their day. It isn't just an extra. I think that's what really helped us to avoid this idea of like, oh, I have to go to this thing and it's just one more thing I have to do. We really tried to keep it, you know, connected, and that was a piece of feedback that folks were saying made a huge difference for them. And so I think that's really important. We did talk about healthy relationships education. We talked about dating violence and prevention specifically of dating violence. But what we sort of said going into this is that when we're talking about primary prevention and we're talking about supporting protective factors, everyone at the table was running program that would support protective factors against dating violence. So if we never talked about dating violence and healthy relationships with them, we just made all of their programs stronger that were really, and they were really theory-based and they focused on protective factors, we were doing our job. We were helping to prevent dating violence in the long run. And I think that really allowed us to broaden what we did and talk in a much broader way, but also invite a much larger audience and allow them to choose a program that mattered to them instead of us saying you have to choose a program. So I think that that was a huge piece of learning for us, was really being able to step back a little bit and recognize that, you know, we didn't have to just talk about dating violence or healthy relationships education. We really needed to talk about prevention theory and the social ecology and all of those sort of broader based concepts.
And that's also an example of the organizational capacity of the Women's Resource Center and the leadership support to be able to design the institute in that way and be okay with spending so much time in planning and organizing and implementing this program that maybe we didn't use the words teen dating violence and we weren't teaching that type of content that is what it's typically is expected out of a domestic violence organization, but that we were spending the time to talk about prevention theory and to talk about how do you evaluate programming. That wouldn't have been possible if the Women's Resource Center executive director and board wasn't on board with that and didn't understand that, yes, by supporting these community-based agencies, we are, and building those protective factors, that we are actually preventing teen dating violence and domestic violence in our community and providing better programming for the youth that live there.
Thank you for sharing this program with Prevent Connect and the Prevent Connect community. I really encourage people to go to primarypreventioninstitute.weebly, which is weebly.com, and to explore the Primary Prevention Institute. You'll also find contact information for Jessica and Lucy on that website as well. So Jessica and Lucy, thank you so much for spending time with us today, and I really look forward to seeing where this program goes in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.